it's very interesting how, when you look at our four greatest leaders, right, the four biggest leaders, the four leaders that come to mind in Klal Yisrael, had some sort of imperfection that was holding them back from striving to their fullest potential. But nevertheless, they didn't let that get ahead of them. And they were able to reach the highest of levels that we've seen out of anyone who has ever walked this earth. So if you would look at the first source in Sefer Shemot, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yod, right, we see that, right, when you think of who is the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael, right, who would you think of? Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The first person to come to mind would be Moshe. He's the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, the one who got the Torah. So when you see when you look at the story of Moshe complaining to Hashem that he can't be the guy, right, since he's kavod peh, right? He says, "Vayomer Moshe al Hashem, bi Adoni lo ish tivarem anochi," and the reason is ki kavod peh v'kavod lashon anochi. So if you look at Rashi on the spot, right, Rashi says kavod peh v'kvedot ani medaber, right? He has trouble speaking, and Rashi says lashon laz balva, I think is how you pronounce it, and in Hebrew it's gumgumad, which is a stutter. Right, so we know that Moshe had a stutter, and he wasn't a spokesperson, and that was when you think of a leader that really is a big struggle for someone who really needs to be personable to the nation. But not only right the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael and the greatest Navi, but also all three of our Avot had some sort of imperfection that was holding them back from reaching their greatness, right? If you look at the Gemara Masechet Yevamos, Rabbi Ami has a very fascinating drasha on the Pesukim, but he says Avram v'Sarah tumtum in hayu, right? And if you look at Yitzchak, right, Yitzchak's getting very old and he's calling Esav to his bedside, and if you look at the pasuk, it says Vayhi ki zakein Yitzchak vatichena einav meirod, right? His eyes started weakening from being able to see. And if you look at Rashi on the spot, he says, what does it mean that his eyes were weakening? He gives three reasons for this, but I'm just going to focus on the second one for this year. Right? Davar acher. Keshenekar al gabe ha-mizbeach, v'haya avin rotzeh l'shafto, right? That Avraham tied him up on the mizbeach, and he was ready to shaft him. But ota shah nifkatu nifkatu ha-shamayim, v'ra'u malchei ha-sharet, v'hayu bochen v'yordin dimoteihem, the Naflo Alinov, right? That the skies opened up and the tears of the Malachi Asharik fell down into Yitzchak's eyes, the Fikach Koenov, and therefore his eyes became weakened and he had trouble seeing. And if you look at Yaakov, right, the famous story of him fighting with the angel, right, the Pasuk says, Vayar ki lo yacholo vayiga, right, the angel or the Ish that says in the Torah saw that he wasn't able to overcome Yaakov. Right, so ve'yiga b'kaf yirecho v'teka kaf yarech Yaakov. Right, and he grabbed onto his thigh. And a few psukim later, we see the repercussions of this battle. Right, the pasuk says v'yizach lo hashemesh ka'asher avar et penuel v'hut solaya al yirecho. Right, he was walking with a limp. Right, so we see that these four leaders, the four original leaders of Bnei Yisrael, had some sort of imperfection that you would think would hold them back from reaching their greatest potential. The question is why, right? You would think that the leaders and the originators of our religion and of our nation, you would think that they would be perfect, if not the closest thing to it, right? You wouldn't think that they would have some sort of imperfection or something that would possibly hold them back from reaching their greatness, right? If their purpose was really to lead the nation, you would think that Hashem would make it easy for them, that they would be able to reach their fullest potential with ease. So keep that question on the back, in the back of your mind. And let's move on to another question. Before. Okay, so if we look at the Gemara in Masechet Makot, right, there's the very famous phrase of Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakot Et Yisrael, V'fikach Hirba Lahem Torah Mitzvot, Shenemar Hashem Chafetz Man Sidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Right, that we see that Hashem tried to be Mizaket at Yisrael, and he wanted to give us as many opportunities to have Zechuyos as possible, so he gave us more and more mitzvot. Right, but the Maharal asks a question, right, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha on this Gemara. He says, Makshim al divrei hatana. Right, he's asking a question on this. Right, Masha amar ratza kadosh baruch hu zakot in Yisrael afika achir b'lem Torah mitzvot. V'hadat notin hefech zeh, shabepnei zikot tovo Yisrael, haya lo latit aleyan mitzvot me'utot v'lo mitzvot harbe. Right, you would think that if Hashem wanted to give more zikuyot, he would give less mitzvot, not more mitzvot. Why? Keep a mitzvot harbe yesh lachosh, shama ya'avor. U'mazikot aleyan kasher harbe lehem mitzvot av. Right, what would be the zchus of having more opportunities to fail? Right, if Hashem gives us only, let's say, 7 mitzvos, like the Bnei Noach, we'd have 7 opportunities to do things right, and everything else that we did wouldn't be a problem. But if we did those 7 things properly, we'd be tzaddikim. Right? Instead, he gives us 613 mitzvot, which make things a lot more complicated for us and gives us a lot more opportunities to fail. So keep those 2 questions in the back of our minds, and we'll come back to both of them at the very end. But first, let's open up a discussion that will try to get us to develop a very nice yisod on life, and we'll be able to answer up these 2 questions at the end. So if you look at the Ramchal in the Mesilat Yesharim, right, he says, Yesod ha-chasidut v'shoresh ha-avoda ha-tmima, hi she-titbarer v'yit-amit etel ha-adam ma-chovato b'olamo. Right, he says that the tafkid in my world is not the same tafkid as in your world. Right, I'm supposed to accomplish something in my life, and it's not the same thing that you're supposed to accomplish in your life. And the idea can be taken to the next level with the Rambam when he discusses this idea in Hilchos Deos, Parak Aleph, Halach Aleph. Right, he says, "Deot harbe yesh l'chol echad ve'echad mibnei Adam v'zu mishuna mizu v'rechoka mimenu b'yoter." Right, there are a bunch of different personalities within people who are created. Right, just because I am one way doesn't mean that you're going to be the same way. And he goes on to give many examples. Right, he says, "Yesh Adam shu bal chama kois tamid v'yesh Adam shedato miyushavet alav ve'ino kois klal." V'yesh Adam shu gavale biyoter, right? Someone who's very haughty. V'yesh shu shafal ruach biyoter, someone who's very humble. V'yesh shu abal tava, and there are people who also aren't balei tava. The list goes on and on. If you want to look at the rest of the Rambam, it's here on the source sheet. But he gives many, many examples to show that there are a bunch of different personalities and that every person is created differently, right? But the question, and I guess if we look on to the next source, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right, says, Hakol Tzipor, right? Everything is predetermined. Parashus Netuna, right? The Rishus is given to us. So what exactly does this mean, right? What is the Rishus that's given to us? So the Bartanur explains on this phrase in Masechet Avot, right? It says that it's biyado shel adam la'asot tov v'ra, right? That it's in our hands to choose between good and bad. And the Rambam takes us one step further in Parak Hay and Hilchos Teshuva. Right, he says, Rishus l'kol echa nituna im ratza lahatot atmo derech tova v'lehiot tzadik harishut biyado. Right, if someone wanted to do good and become a tzadik, right, the Rishus is in his hands. V'im ratza lahatot atmo derech ra, and if someone wanted to go down the path of evil, u'lehiot rasha and become a rasha, harishut biyado. Right, he also has Rishut to become a rasha. And he continues in Halacha Bet. Right, he says, "Kol Adam ra'ilo lihiyot tzadik kemoshe Rabbeinu, o rasha ki ravam." And the example that he gives, he says that everyone's able to reach the mila of Sidkus of Moshe, or they're able to reach such a low of Yeravam. But if you look in the next source, right, it seems as if we have a stira in the Rambam. Right, if you look at the Peres HaMishnayos Rambam in Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Yod Mishnah Aleph, he says, "Vayesod hashvi'i nivua Moshe Rabbeinu." Right, Moshe is the Av of all of the Nevi'im. He's the first. Anyone who's before him and anyone who's after him, right, everybody is under Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, Moshe is the greatest Navi who has ever lived, and no one will ever surpass him in greatness. So how could it be that someone is ra'i lihiyot tzadik kemoshe, but at the same time, hakol him lamata mimenu b'mala? Right? How could it be that everyone is able to reach the levels of Moshe Rabbeinu, but at the same time, no one's ever able to reach the levels of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains this in the next source in the Kobetz Ma'amarim. It says, Kolomar, talking about the Perush HaMishnayos, Kol Adam Kifi Kocho Yachol Liyot Tzadik Kemoshe. Right? Everyone is able to become a Tzadik Kifi Kocho. Right? Kemoshe Moshe Rabbeinu Hi Giyak Kifi Kocho Tav. Right, just like Moshe was able to reach his level of tzidkos and his level of greatness, kfi kochotav, right, so too we're able to reach our fullest potential, kfi kochotav. Right, that it doesn't necessarily mean that we're able to reach the mila of Moshe Rabbeinu, it just means that we're able to reach our fullest potential based on the strengths that Hashem has given us. Right, and this might be able to answer our first question that we had about the Avot and about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Everyone was given their own strengths. And even the Avos and even our leaders weren't created, quote-unquote, perfect, but they used their strengths to reach perfection, right? They focused on what they can do instead of what they can't do. And as a result, they were able to reach such heights, right? And if you look And I guess let's go back to our second question, right? In the Pirush Hamishnah, it's the Rambam in Masechet Makot, right? Miyasodes ha'amuna ba'Torah she'im kiyim ha'adam mitzvah mishalosh asrei v'shesh me'al mitzvot kirayu kehugan v'lo shataf ama mitara u'mitaros ha'olam hazak klal ela asa l'shama asa l'shma me'ahava kimo shebriot she'bi'arti l'cha hari hu zocha ba'lachai olam haba l'chein amar Rabbi Chananya ki ma'achmat riboy ha'mitzvot I afshar shelo yasa adam achad בכל ימי חייו, בשלמות, ויזכה להשארות הנפש באותו המעשה. Right, when you look back, our second question was, why was Hashem mezakeh Yisrael with so many more mitzvot? Right, and the Rambam saying over here, if you look at the Sefer Haredim, the next source, Das HaRambam, he's explaining the Rambam, he says, she'i afshar shelo tichshak nafsho be'echan mikulam la'asota bishlemuta, ketikna uva yizkeh l'chai olam haba. Right, he explains the Rambam and says that Hashem gave more mitzvot to open up more opportunities for people on their skill sets to connect to their mitzvah. Right, everybody has different abilities and everybody's created with different abilities. And as long as there are more and more mitzvot, everyone's able to find that mitzvah that connects to them and they're able to do it bishleimusa. Right, if there were only seven mitzvot and I was created with the skill set that had to do with, let's say, mitzvah number nine, but mitzvah number nine was never created, I wouldn't have any mitzvot to grab a hold of, and I wouldn't be able to reach any level of greatness. Right? But when Hashem gives 613 mitzvot, and people are able to connect to something that their skill set relates to, right? Therefore, it's mezakeh Yisrael. And I just want to finish with two sources that are connected to our developed yisod. If you look at the Sichas Musar in Mamre Chavtet, it's a brilliant mashal is brought down. He brings down a mashal based off of a Rashi that's commenting on a pasuk in Eicha. Right, Rashi says that the pasuk in Eicha is talking about Hashem saying, why don't the people appreciate the chesed that I did for people? Right, I gave them life. Why is that not enough chesed for people? Why are they still going against me? And I'll just read the mashal inside. I didn't bold the mashal. I just bolded the nimshal. But hamashal zod la'adam shezaka bizchia gedola begoral. Right. I guess I'll do the mashal outside, right? For example, imagine yourself walking home from work one day and you fall and you drop one of your cups, it smashes into pieces, and now it's gone, right? You'd be upset. You'd be sad that you just lost your cup or your vase, whatever it is. And it might ruin your day in somewhat. But now imagine yourself running home after you just won the lottery to tell your family that you just won $100 million. Right, you're running home and you trip, you stumble and you drop your vase. Right? It doesn't matter so much to you anymore. Right? You get up and just continue running and forget that your vase is even there because you just won the lottery. Right? And he says, "Tacha la'adam lahargish b'chesed ha'chayim shenotin lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Right? This is the same feeling that a person should feel with the chesed ha'chayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us. Right? That we should feel that our richness, our tzrichim liot le'in ketz v'shir, right? It doesn't have a limit, and it doesn't have a shir. Ad shelo yachosh v'lo yargish b'chol akorot habaot alav, to the point where any struggle that we feel, we wouldn't even notice it, right? V'afil yisurin gedolin v'atzuvim ki yisura iov, even to the point and the level of the yisura iov, we wouldn't be able to feel it, right? Ke'en uche efes yichshavu. Right, just being alive and the brachot that Hashem gave to each and every one of us should be enough to outdo any struggles that we have. Right, it doesn't matter the imperfections, quote unquote, that each and every one of us have. Right, when you focus on the things that you're able to do and the brachot that Hashem gave you, right, the skill sets and the strength that Hashem blessed each and every one of us with, the struggles and the imperfections that are within each and every one of us are meaningless. Right? This is exactly how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to overcome the speech impediment that he had. And the same thing that all of the others were able to overcome their imperfections because they focused on what Hashem gave them. Right? They understood this yisod and they understood that the brachos that they have are so special that every moment and every bracha that they're given to them is as if they won the lottery. And they were able to overcome any of their struggles. The second one is a story from Rav Shai Schefter. He's a rabbi in Camp Simcha and also the rabbi of the shul that I go to at the Youngers of Woodmere. And he gave a Shabbos Rasha right after he came home from Camp Simcha. He explained how 18 is the oldest age at Camp Simcha, and at the end of the summer they have a graduation for all of their campers who are graduating, quote unquote, the camp. Right, and he says that one of the girls who was graduating, one of the graduates, got up at the podium at the graduation and told over this story. It's a mashal of a king. So she says that one day there was a king who called in all of his servants, and he gave each of them a watering pot filled with water, and says, "Please go out to my garden and water the plants so that I can have the most beautiful garden in the land." All of the servants, right, they run to the garden to try to be the first ones there to water as much as they can. But one of their servants, when he gets to the garden, he realizes that he doesn't have any water in his pot. So he looks into the watering pot, and he sees that there's holes at the bottom of the pot. He's terrified. He thinks that the king is going to have his head chopped off, right? He finally finds the courage to walk into the king's palace and to tell him, like, "Your Majesty, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I had a broken kli. I chose the wrong one. I wasn't able to water your plants. Please, I beg your forgiveness." And the king says, right, he looks at him and he says, "My servant, you don't realize. I made one of these kalim with the holes on the bottom because the pathway needed to be watered as well. Right? Everyone ran to the garden, but while you were running to the garden, the water was falling onto the pathway. Now, your tafkid wasn't the same tafkid as all the other servants. You did exactly what I wanted you to do." The girl goes on to say, and she says, "My whole life I felt as if I was a broken kli. Right? But after coming to Camp Hass, I realized that I was created exactly the way that I was supposed to be." She said, "I'm not a broken kli. Hashem gave me everything that I needed to fulfill my purpose on this earth." She continues and says that, "I'm standing here today, graduating Camp Simcha, 100% whole, ready to take life head on. And it's because of my counselors who saw me for what I can do instead of what I can't do, and labeling me for what I can do instead of what I can't do, they saw the ability within my disability. This month, the month of February, coming up in a few days, is called Na'im, North American Inclusion Month. It's a month dedicated to spreading awareness of inclusion and disability awareness. And I think that it's it makes sense for us to take upon ourselves during this next month to try to look past people's imperfections and try to focus on what they can do as opposed to what they can't do. And we should look at ourselves and we should look past our imperfections and we should realize what we can do and reach the madrigos kifi kocho of Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Rav Elchanan Wasserman taught us in the Kovetz Ma'amarim. And with that, we should be zochet to reach the milos of Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rambam taught us, within our lifetime.